News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips to the PC. It is Sunday, the 5th of August, Anno Domini 2007, and you lucky people. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour, 8 minutes after the hour. It's Sound Bites. Pat, can you turn up my headphone thingy a little bit?
He wants to hear the voices in his head a little louder.
Yeah, the voices in my head are very loud, and I would prefer to hear other people instead. Thank you. We're here, and we're taking your calls, and we're doing all those Sound Bitesian things. I would like to start with a news story. Just about every new product in consumer electronics is going to have a problem or two, and there may also be technical issues. In this potential court case, Apple's problems is one Jose Trujillo, who is suing Apple and seeking class action status in a lawsuit over the iPhone. This is one of those stories where you think, huh? It turns out Apple marketed, and I quote, marketed its iPhone as a revolutionary new mobile phone that incorporates high technology, whatever that means. Besides that, most of the substantial allegations focus on the iPhone battery, including, unknown to the plaintiff and undisclosed to the public, prior to purchase, the iPhone is a sealed unit with its battery soldered on the inside of the device so that it cannot be changed by the owner. And the battery enclosed in the iPhone can only be charged approximately 300 times before it will be in need of replacement, necessitating a new battery annually for owners of the iPhone. To the plaintiff's apparent surprise and dismay, you do not have access to a phone while the battery is being replaced unless you pay $30 for a loaner, and Apple will erase, quote, all the data from the iPhone. Damn them. Also, the cost of this battery repair is allegedly equal to 20% of the purchase price of the iPhone annually. Finally, none of the details regarding battery life or replacement are to be found anywhere in the materials that come with the phone and could only be found under several layers of links on Apple's support website. Okay.
No,
setting aside the fact that the iPhone battery is covered under the first year of warranty, thus negating that first year of annual cost, the battery life information here is just wrong. The battery page for the iPhone provides Apple's official position on battery life. A properly maintained iPhone battery is designed to retain up to 80% of its original capacity at 400 full charge and discharge cycles. You may choose to replace your battery when it no longer holds sufficient charge to meet your needs.
The problem was that if you don't read that very closely, it retains 80% of its charge after 300 to 400 cycles.
Right.
If you don't read that too close, then you can read that it's dead after 300.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, because if you charge your phone every
but
day.
But that's not what they say.
Right, that's not what they say, yeah.
You know, yes, you're going to have to send the thing to replacement. Even I knew you couldn't replace your own. I don't even own, nor am I ever going to get an iPhone. And even I knew you couldn't replace the battery yourself.
It was all over the news before the iPhone shipped.
Yeah, I don't know what
it's been true of the iPod for years, although there are third-party battery replacements for the iPod if you're technically inclined. Now, Apple has stated on the iPod side, at least, that it's not user-replaceable because they don't want you throwing the batteries in the garbage. It is illegal to throw batteries in the regular garbage. They are a hazardous waste, and you must dispose of them at a hazardous waste facility.
Right.
Most everyone just throws them in the garbage. So Apple's trying to be green.
That's true
of cell phones in general, any electronics in general. So Apple's getting blasted by Greenpeace for not being green enough, and then they get blasted by the public for being too green.
At any rate, I can't imagine that anyone's going to actually take this case seriously.
Except the lawyers.
Except, of course, the lawyers. This is America, the land of the free and litigious. It doesn't matter how stupid a lawsuit is. The possibility of winning is there at least. So we'll keep following this. My hope is that the problem is there's no real method in a court of law for the judge to simply declare the plaintiff a moron and throw the case out.
Stupidity cases.
And most of the cases, the jury is going to award the plaintiff some money. So when it's their turn to sue somebody, they'll get some too.
I mean, it all started, it seems like, back when that one person spilt coffee in their lap driving.
I'm sorry, but I don't know that I would have the guts to stand up in front of the world and say, I was stupid enough to take the lid off a cup of coffee I just gotten at McDonald's, grasp it between my thighs, and then drive Squeeze. Away.
There was a backstory to that story, though. That particular McDonald's had been cited in the past for having their coffee too hot.
But still, no. People have just
so that's why she won that
happy.
First suit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Everything well, is, sue.
There is a relatively legitimate lawsuit over the Apple iPhone. There's a company claiming that iPhone's touchscreen display infringes on one of their patents.
Right.
And that can be a little more easily
That's a serious yeah. lawsuit. Yeah. We'll see where that one goes, too, but that's at least serious. All right.
Well, that's filed in Tyler, Texas. That's the big lawsuit capital of the world.
Yep.
If you want to sue somebody for something stupid, go to Tyler, Texas, because they have very sympathetic juries, and they have very loose laws, I guess. But everything else in Texas, what was that, Ron White, one of the blue-collar guys?
Yeah.
They have a big stand on the death penalty. And not only is Texas pro-death penalty, they're putting in an express lane.
So,
because they don't want someone sitting on death row for 20 years tying up the appeals process.
Right, exactly. All right, our first caller is Dave from Fairport. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Dave?
Yes, you're there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can't hear you through my headphones. You're going to have to listen to the
go
other
ahead.
Guys.
I cranked yours up already. Let me crank the other one up.
Can
you hear me now?
Go ahead,
just
Dave.
Vaguely, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I've got a laptop with a Windows XP Professional on it, and I wiped the hard drive because I intend to sell it. Now, after I've wiped the hard drive and try to reinstall the Windows XP,
mm-hmm.
I get a statement that says Windows cannot start because of the following is missing or corrupt. Windows root / system32/hal.dll. Please reinstall. How would you do that?
Well, you had a bad install. What you can do is if you put that CD back in.
Right.
And you know how you get to the first screen and it's either repair or install?
Oh, yeah, you mean the erase?
Right.
The drive
so
erase?
You go ahead and tell it to install.
Okay.
And then you'll hit the F8 for the agreement. The next time you see either repair or install, you hit the repair. So it's after the F8 agreement, you'll see repair again down along the bottom of the screen. Select repair, and that will repair that HAL file.
Okay, so but put the CD, the Drive Erase Pro CD back in, or the Windows XP.
The Windows XP.
Oh, okay. And then once I install that, the first time I did that, this statement came up. So I'll put that in there, push F8, right, and select repair.
Yeah, F8. After you do the F8 for the agreement,
right,
then you wind up. You'll see. It'll continue onto the screen, and you'll see repair down there again.
Oh, okay.
That's when you set, second time you see the repair.
Second time. Okay,
yep.
Great, guys. Thanks a lot.
The easiest way to remember is after you've had to hit the F8 for the agreement. So you should be all set.
All right, thanks. All right, now I can actually hear things. This is lovely. Thank you very much.
Not those little voices in your head?
Well, the voices in my head are loud today, but... I can hear this
you can
stuff
handle
too.
Those.
So I'm now a happy little camper. I don't know quite what had happened there, but this was way down, and now I'm.
Well, when your headphones are loud enough for you to hear, they're too loud for the recording.
Oh, well, it's got to be this thing because I had this thing cranked all the way up.
Yeah. So can I crank that one down more? And no, we got to turn the master down, so you have to turn up.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I have this cranked up. So you
don't try this at home, folks. We're professionals.
Yeah, we're professionals. We're trying. One of the things, of course, that we do every week, Chris Reich has generously donated his time, his personage, and his equipment to record the show. We've had a few odd little glitches.
Nothing's marked right. You're on mic one, I would guess. But it appears that you're on jack two that we're trying to turn up for the recording.
Ah.
So we're turning the recording down so it doesn't clip, but it turns your mic, your headphones down too.
Well, turn it down. You can turn it down a little because I still got some up I can do on this thing here. So whatever. But we're trying to do that, but there aren't enough inputs and this studio was never designed to do that sort of thing. So we're
let's go find a plug over by Pat. Maybe there's another one over there we can use.
Well, that's possible. We can try that next week or whatever.
Yeah,
my volume is great, actually high enough that I could turn it down some. So this is one of the things that we're trying to do
now. My headphones as with the level as low as I can make it, it's still overblowing my headphones.
Really?
Yeah,
that's so weird. So anyway, we're Pat, how much time do we have? Time for another call?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, thank you. Our next caller is Liz from Honey Eye Falls. Welcome, Liz. What's your question?
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm having trouble with iTunes. Probably for the past month, it lets it, when I go to log on to it, it comes up not responding. So then we do the whole send error message report to Microsoft, which I don't think does anything. And every once in a while, it will let me in, so I don't know what's wrong.
Steve?
Well, you're getting an iTunes error?
No, I'm not getting an iTunes error at all. I'm getting iTunes is not this program is not responding. And so then, of course, I have to end the program. And then, of course, you get the prompt from the Windows send error report, and I do that. But not that that does anything. But every once in a while, it lets me come on. And I don't understand why. And this has happened for about the past month, which does me no good because I can't access it and I can't use it.
Right. Liz, are you on, how do you connect to the internet?
How do I connect to the internet?
Yeah, is it dial-up? Is it broadband? What?
It's the high-speed frontier.
Okay. All right. Then you're always connected. I was wondering if it might be a thing where she wasn't connected to the internet.
Right.
And
no,
therefore,
no.
Right.
There have been several updates to iTunes in the last month or so.
I just downloaded 7.32 or whatever the newest one was yesterday, and I did that, and still no luck.
Did you uninstall the first iTunes before you installed the new one?
I have uninstalled iTunes at least 25 times and reinstalled it. I've uninstalled QuickTime. I mean, I've tried everything, and it just makes me crazy. And then all of a sudden, once in a while, I'll try it, and I'll get on. I've done virus scans. I've done the spyware scans. I've done all that. Made sure that I was the authorized
administrator.
I mean, I've kind of tried to research on my own, and it's just so frustrating. It's a crapshoot. Every once in a while, it lets me on, and sometimes it doesn't. More times, it does not let me on. More times, it says this program is not responding.
What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
Service Pack 2?
Pardon?
Service Pack 2?
Yes, they did do that. You know, it seemed like when they did that automatically not too long ago, I wonder if that has something to
Liz, what I was going to say is what you might want to check, because I know this has been, and we've run into this a couple times with the iTunes. If you go into your ad remove programs,
okay,
and check and see if they installed Internet Explorer 7.0 on you.
7.0? Okay.
Yes, it'll be down at the bottom. So you scroll all the way down to the bottom and see if Windows Internet Explorer 7 was installed.
Okay. Now, if it is?
If it is, click on for it to remove it, reboot the machine, and see if that solves your problem.
Okay.
Because, I mean, worst case scenario, if it doesn't, oh, well, you can always reinstall it.
Right,
but,
okay.
I got a feeling that that's what's messed you up is the Internet Explorer 7.0. I've run into it a few times.
And I've also found a knowledge base article at Apple about a problem with iTunes launching under Windows, and there's a couple of things they suggest in the QuickTime preferences. Because iTunes uses QuickTime for a lot of its audio and video playback, there's a lot of related files between the two.
Okay.
So I've posted that on our link list as well.
Okay, I'll check that out too, but I'll check the Internet Explorer 7.
Yeah, try uninstalling it. That can't hurt, Liz.
I will try it.
And worst it can do is, you know, fix the problem. It's not going to make you any worse.
Right.
So well,
it's just so random. That's what makes it a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
And I've had it for 3 years and never had a problem until like the past, just recently.
There you
go. Well, try those things and let us know.
Please. All right, I will.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Thanks to Pat. He's let us run over a little time. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat K, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 22 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat K.
And at 26 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. We're just going to get quickly back to the phones, but first, just very quickly, Microsoft has drastically cut the price of Windows Vista in China in a bid to boost sales of its new operating system. Microsoft cut the retail price of Windows Vista Home Basic in China to 499 renminbi, which is $65.80 American, a 67% reduction. The home version of Vista was reduced 50%. China gets the good prices, we
get hosed.
Isn't home basic $200 here?
Yes.
For a full retail?
Yes, $65 in China. Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's probably still a month's salary.
Yes, it probably. Well, no, the main reason they're reducing it is because China uses, well, a lot of stolen software.
I was going to say, but they also trying to cut down on the piracy.
Well, but there's a big push there for them to use Red Star Linux, which is a Chinese version of Linux that the state has created.
Remember a couple of years ago, there was a Microsoft and the Chinese police raided a couple of huge factories pumping out thousands of illegal copies of Windows, and the Chinese government confiscated them all.
Yes, yes, they did.
Well, they just nailed them again this week, Fisher Price, for putting lead in painting the toys for kids.
Yep.
So, I mean, hasn't lead been removed from paint for 30 years?
Not in China. Just in the U.S.
Well, what was that?
They haven't gotten the lead out.
Tongue cancer. A lot of watchmakers would get tongue cancer when they used to use radium to make the dials glow because you'd tip the paintbrush.
And thyroid problems. Yeah,
tip the paintbrush to your tongue and then dip it in the paint and paint the watch dials.
Yep. Yep. All right, we've got.
See, we just live too long. If you die of old age at 20, then.
That's about right. That's the problem. Back, you know, when people died at 30 from, like, saber-tooth tiger bites or whatever that was, they all lived healthy. That's why we think of them as living healthy. They did live healthy until they died young.
Well, the whole thing.
I mean, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Old was 40. The wise old people of the village were, you know, 40.
That was considered an old man.
The old crones were 45 years old.
And the whole thing with Ponce de Leon and the Fountain of Youth, because I've been there and I've drank the water from the Fountain of Youth. Ponce de Leon was 5'1" or some, you know, most Europeans were very short.
Right.
And you died of old age at 30. He shows up in Florida, and the Seminole Indians are all 6'5", you know, 6'7", and live to be 80 years old. Of course he thought it was the Fountain of Youth.
When, in fact, they were just dang healthier than the Europeans.
Yep.
That's how that worked. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's a short but brutish life, and so I guess that makes up for it. I don't know. Anyway, we don't really have enough time to take another call, so because we're out in 1 minute. So let me just... very quickly, just say the funny part about this is this story about China. The industry is really not impressed with Vista at this moment, according to the Acer CEO. The whole industry is disappointed with Windows Vista. People are not impressed with it. They don't like the cost. They don't think they're getting enough bang for the buck for what they're paying. So we'll have to see. That's one of the reasons that Microsoft has extended XP support.
We got time. We're going to do my rant
today? Oh, we're going to do your rant today.
Okay,
we'll do that closer to the top of the hour. Right now, it looks like we got to take a break.
Getting
back
cranked
in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 29 minutes after the hour. Here comes Glenn Lamberts to do all the important stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Patrick.
At 33 minutes after the hour, I wish you could see Glenn Lambert's kind of chilling out.
Doing his own thing.
By the way, 1001001 is 73 in binary, which is...
Well, it's a ham radio shorthand for best wishes.
There you go.
You know, I sprung that on you today, and I was very impressed. Can I say that on the radio?
You may. You certainly may.
I walked in and wrote right there on the donut box, okay, tell me, you're so smart, Francis. You tell me, Nick, if you're so smart. What do these numbers mean? 1001001.
And we just had to go through the binary code and read
it. And he goes, he's off after the 1, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6,
him. No, 73 is ham radio shorthand for best wishes. 88 is hugs and kisses. Yeah, right. But which I'm not going to say to you.
And 42 is the answer to everything.
No. Life, the universe, and everything.
Anyway, there's a ham operator in New Jersey who has that on his license plate. 100100.
Best wishes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Thank you.
See ya.
All right, we're back. Here we go. I'm fascinated by this idea. Google has developed a prototype cell phone that could reach markets within a year and plans to offer consumers free subscriptions by bundling advertisements with its search engine, email, and web browser software applications. Google is showing the prototype to cell phone manufacturers and network operators as it continues to hone the technical specifications that will allow the phone to offer a better mobile web browsing experience than current products. Google declined to comment on the report from the prototype, but confirmed that it is working with partners to expand its software applications from the traditional internet to mobile devices. We're partnering with carriers, manufacturers, and content providers around the world to bring Google Search and Google applications to mobile users everywhere, a Google spokesindividual said. What our users and partners are telling us is they want Google Search and Google applications on mobile, and we are working hard every day to deliver. Did you know you can actually already do that now if you have text messaging? You can text message to Google, and they will respond. So you can, like, say, your zip code, and it will return all the movie times.
Cool.
So there's a whole bunch of stuff you can actually already do, and that's all available off of Google's website, and I forget just where, but Google slash mobile.
Well,
I was right. Google/mobile. Oh, golly, I'm good.
The other side of this Google thing is that Google is putting in a bid for the 700 megahertz band.
Yep.
Which is normally the TV channels now. When analog television's transmissions stop in 2009,
right.
February 16th, 2009, it's my wife's birthday.
Damn.
So when analog TV transmissions stop, they're going to redistribute and sell off those channels for other purposes. And Google is putting in a serious proposal as long as it remains public or free or something like that. And the other cell phone carriers are a little annoyed by that because they wanted the band for themselves.
Right.
But the rumor and theories are that Google is going to buy these frequencies and then have free internet and free cell phone use.
I love Google.
Mm. Yeah.
I so love the
We're
people
not
at
evil.
Google. We're not evil. There's a comic, an online comic called Help Desk at Ubersoft.net. And Ubersoft is a thinly disguised Microsoft, and the guy who runs it, the Bill Gates character, is this brown hooded guy who's clearly some sort of devil demon thing. One of their guys they've got one guy who's kind of altruistic and naive, and he just quit them to go work at Google and found out they're, you know, a bunch of high priests with Kabbalistic symbols all over themselves, and they're just as evil as anybody else, but at least they pretend not to be. And he finally decides, you know, I can't really work for you guys. I thought you were better than this, and I can't work for you. Did we mention you get a free iPhone? Next picture he's working for them.
Well, that's the... I just lost my train of thought. Oh, Dilbert and the 9001 ISO certification.
Yeah.
You can have the crappiest process and the crappiest products. As long as it's well documented, you get ISO 9000 certification.
Right. Yeah. As long as you document the fact that somebody tosses a coin and it guesses, you can get that certification. Yeah. I have a friend who works for Google, and he's been there less than a year, and he's been promoted four or five times. They love him, and he loves it there. He has no life outside of Google, but they do his laundry. The meals are all free. They have four-star restaurants as well as, you know, free snack machines, free soda machines, et cetera, et cetera. But in return for all of that, he works 24 hours a day. You know, he's there day and night, and that's, you know, whatever works for you. But, of course, I work day and night. I'm not even doing it at one job, and I still have to pay to get my laundry done. So I don't really know how I'm sneering at him. I have no idea how that's supposed to work. But
Google's got the neat thing where one day a week you can't work on work. You have to work on something fun, something
right. That's
else.
Not true of everybody in the company, but you work 4 days a week for Google, and one day a week you can work on anything you want as long as it's somehow, you know, it's owned by Google. Whatever you come up with is owned by Google, but you can work on anything. That's where half the stuff, if you click down more, on the Google website, all that stuff came out of that, where people would just, whatever they wanted to play with, they were allowed to play with.
And encouraged.
And if it works, great, Google owns it, and, you know, maybe you head up a new Google group that develops that thing, whatever it may be. I'm sure there was somebody working on the Google phone, the G phone. Now, we're going to start that now. We've got all the I, this is, and that's. Now we'll have the G, this is, and that's.
Mm-hmm.
The Google phone. I got to be honest, I'd love to get, you know, free wireless internet, ubiquitous. There are some cities in the country.
Well, San Francisco is the big one, and Google is one of the providers of it.
Right. New York, you can get a signal dang near anywhere. There are a couple of other cities. Telluride in Colorado has wireless, has internet everywhere, but I don't think it's wireless. At any rate, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back. Pat Kay is keeping me on the straight and narrow. God bless him. It's what his job is. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, me, Nick Francesco, and you at 40 minutes after the hour. If you're on the line, we will get to you in the next segment. It's 40 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, you're listening to Soundbites. Let us go right to the phones because we've been holding people up. We have Mark from Canisius on the line. What's your question, Mark? Mark?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got my neighbor's computer here. It was a 98 machine they used mostly for email.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it no longer will boot. Scan disk can't fix it. Check disk can't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it hooked up as a slave drive on my XP machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to retrieve their email if I can. Now, I was able to find the .wab file, which is the address book, and I was able to export it.
Yep.
But I'm not sure if that's all I need to do.
DBX is, I believe, the other files for the actual email.
What, do you know what email program they were running?
Outlook Express.
Okay.
And it's DBX.
Well, it depends on what version of Outlook Express it is. Some of them are DBX. Some of them are a proprietary PST.
Well, if you look for, the easiest way to do it is do a search on that drive and look for inbox.
Okay.
And that'll take you down to that folder.
Right. You are looking for PST files.
There are none on the drive.
Later versions of Outlook Express used the DBX, didn't they?
Yeah,
no,
DBX.
Later versions used PST.
Was there earlier versions of DBX and old, later ones are PST?
Try looking, though, for the inbox folder. Do a search on the drive.
Yeah. Go into that version of Outlook and under Help, search for how do I back up my mail.
Well, I can't bring up.
He can't because the drive is dead. He's got it hooked up to his machine. That's what I say. If he does.
Oh, you're not going to be able to do that anyway.
Well, he can at least copy those folders.
Yeah, but you won't be able to do anything with them.
Yes, you can. You can if you take.
Well, you could import them into Thunderbird, but Outlook won't import it.
Yeah,
itself.
Yes, it will. We do it really? All the time. Yeah,
I've tried doing that, and it's because there's just it creates a random string of numbers as part of the folder.
You've
got
to first open Outlook, and then you can say import, and you can point it to another folder.
ODS
and pull them in.
There's a third file extension now?
Yeah, ODS is one of the original Outlook Express mailbox formats. So look for ODS.
And if you don't find that, then just do a search on inbox. That will point you to the folder where all the inbox, the send file folder is, the trash, the whole nine yards. You can copy that whole folder to some other location, say a DVD or a CD, depending on what it'll fit on, and then down the road be able to import it.
Great.
Okay?
Thanks a lot.
All righty.
There you go. All right. I got time for another call? Excellent. Our next caller is Mike from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Oh, I wanted to know if Steve Ray's really a robot. Is there anything he doesn't know? No, my real question is, have you guys considered doing a show out of Buffalo? And then you're doing it like Taste of Buffalo or the Allentown Art
Festival? I was going to bring that up to you guys after the show. A lot of the podcasts I listen to, they do pub crawls. Let's just meet at a bar some night. We can answer questions, and they can buy us drinks.
Sign me up. Sign me up.
Well, if you can find a group where that would want to, be able to get enough folks together.
Yeah, we've done.
They want us to buy the drinks.
We've done. We've done show road shows here in the past.
I mean, we don't have a nice ham fest like Raw Raw does over in Rochester. Talk to Glenn Lambert about that.
Right.
But we do have some Taste of Buffalo. No, I'll tell you why. The question isn't, I was walking out of Circuit City last night, and I ran into two people, that again, they say, I'm not really savvy with computer. And I said, well, there's a radio show that you can call it. And they've never heard of it. And that's because WAM typically has been Rochester. But really,
certainly reach Buffalo. All you have to do is listen. Mike, we need you out there. Pushing our show in Buffalo, getting people to listen, and then you'll get enough people to drag us down there. And
Do you have a Clear Channel station there in Buffalo?
What do you mean a Clear Channel?
Probably.
Yeah.
WHAM belongs to a company called Clear Channel.
Oh, okay.
So if you find out what channel is in Buffalo, see if you can talk to them and get us out there.
And I'll tell you, the other part of it is that Fusillo Chevrolet is originally, out of here, is out of Grand Island.
Right.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're huge, and they're advertisers on our show.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of routes to take in the Buffalo area, Mike. You're now the official Buffalo ambassador of the Soundbites radio show.
You get us
out there. Congratulations, you are not only the official first official one in Buffalo, you're, well, the first official one. So,
well, you know, now you can do it. I'm a long-time listener. Okay? I remember the time that Nick called into the show when his daughter was making her Holy Communion.
Holy cow, you are old. I mean, yes. You haven't been listening a long time.
No, but I remember you couldn't get away from the show for 15 minutes. You had to call in and answer a question. You know, the thing about it is now you're on a thing where I don't have to sit in my car to listen to you.
Right.
Yeah. We got some power. It's out.
It doesn't look like Clear Channel owns any stations in Buffalo, Erie, Niagara Falls.
That can't be right.
Interesting. I'm on their website searching for stations.
Wow.
Well, there must be some other big media conglomerate that owns everybody in Buffalo.
Well, tell you
Buffalo.
What, talk to that car dealer out there. Dumb, because they're in Rochester. Get some.
And A, they should be supporting us, and B, they should get us in all of their cities.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
You're in charge of that, Mike.
Mike, the official Buffalo ambassador of Soundbites, thank you for calling in and welcome to your new position.
Well, if he gets us out there, we'll have him on the show.
We'll get him on the show. We'll go out to Buffalo and we'll let Mike be the MC.
Yeah, he can introduce us.
Okay. Well, if I get you out to Buffalo, I'll pick you up on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not kidding. We're not kidding.
Me neither. Yeah.
Okay. Good show, guys.
All right. Hang on. And Pat will get your last name.
Yeah, so we know who you are.
And let me be the first one. You got an anniversary show coming up in less than a month. And happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. This guy really has been listening. Yeah, We've been on the air 17 years, 11 months, and 2 days. So very first weekend of September will be our 18th year on the air. 18 long stinking years. I mean... 18 years.
You promised not to kiss and tell.
That music in the background, if it is?
No, that's just Mike.
Oh, that's Mike. All right, Mike, thanks.
Hold on, Mike, and he'll get your full name.
We'll get your information. Hang on to the line. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, Mike from Buffalo. He's still hanging on at least for a minute. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 51 minutes after the hour at Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And at 55 minutes after the hour, it's time to sit back, everybody. Kitties, grab your teddies, your teddy bears, put on your footy jammies, get your cup of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake... It's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
You don't have to hit me hard this time. I am cranked.
What happened?
Two things. Folks, don't be BS'd. And what I mean by that is right now I've had a couple clients. This is the prime time that everybody's now starting to think about getting the laptops and that for kids going to school, especially college. And a number of individuals, and I've had three of them, been told by various big-name companies that, no, you can't get XP anymore. You have to buy Vista.
Bull.
Well, from them, that may be true, but it's not true in general.
Bull. You got to insist upon it. Say, I don't want that. What the problem is they've got all these copies of Vista, and nobody wants them. They can't even give them away. Because Vista is slowly turning out to be my old friend like Emmy. I just haven't come up with a creative name. Or like many errors. But I'll work on it. Vista, you know, definitely.
There was one when Vista first came out. Someone had a really, really cool acronym for how crappy it was. Let me look.
Well, anyways, right now, folks, so don't believe them. If they say, you know, no, you can't do that. We got to give you Vista. Say, then fine. I'm going somewhere else. You can get it. You just got to be a little assertive in doing it. The other thing that I really got cranked about was I had another individual. And this lady works with the Commission for the Blind. So I was helping her out. And she called this big company. And they were telling her, well, this one program isn't working. You've got to wipe out your whole machine.
Oh, I hate those people.
That's the easiest thing for them to tell you on the phone. And it guarantees the computer will work again.
Oh, they got it working. And then
they win.
So all of a sudden, none of her voice software or anything else, her magnification program, were gone. Well, it's working now. Sorry, that was the cause of it. No, it wasn't.
The phone support people.
If everything else works and that one program doesn't, it's that one program, not your whole computer.
The phone support people are rated on how fast they finish the call. If they say run the restore disk and hang up,
they should be
win.
Slapped upside with a bunch of floppies.
Yep.
I mean, I'd like to take a case of floppies and just start throwing it at them.
Yeah, the VISTA acronym, virus, infection, spyware, trojans, and adware.
Nice.
VISTA.
Yeah, that's right now.
All right, kiddies, it's time. Just, it's time
you
gotta to
be aware, folks. And, you know, this is where I have always said, you know, folks, if you get a chance and you have a question, email me, you know, on simple stuff like this, because I will tell you, yeah, go for it, yay, not. But don't be told that you got to do this or do this just because of one program.
Well, the other, right. Something similar on that.
We have to take a break. We got to take a break. Oh, we got 1 minute left? Okay, go ahead.
Well, something similar on that is be wary of the free diagnosis things you see some of the other companies doing.
Oh, yeah.
They'll do a free diagnosis and say you need $300 in parts. And it's been a big scam in auto and appliance repair for years, and it's happening now in computers, too.
Right.
So, you know, find someone you trust and
beware, folks.
You
know, beware.
Don't shop only on price. Find someone you trust.
Right, right. And that's what we said all along. That's why I always tell people to buy locally. You got a face to look at. You got somebody you can look in their eye.
And I got a cute face.
You can look in the eye.
Said. My wife,
your wife
said
has
that.
Never been wrong, and I say that publicly because she'll hurt me if I don't.
You got that right. She'll hurt you severely.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. The mighty Glenn Lamberts is in to do the news, the weather, the sports, all the important... Wake up, Glenn. All the important things that everybody is always listening to Wham for. In the meantime, we're going to take a break. We will, of course, be back on the other side of the news. We've got the poll. We've got a lot more calls. We've got all kinds of interesting things going on. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Sound Bites. It's 59 minutes after the hour, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites. We will get back to the phones, but first I want to talk a little bit about what goes on at our website. It's soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Every week we do a poll. Last week's poll was about having trouble with VISTA. 309 of you voted, tying for 145th on the all-time hit list, thanks to each and every one of you. And shockingly, the 55% of you, the overwhelming majority, are still running an older version, followed by the Linux, followed by the Macintosh, followed by no problems here, other problems, figuring out where things are, getting hardware to work, upgrading to it, and getting my printer to work. This week's poll comes from an article I was actually reading on Slashdot. A fellow named Loconut1389 wrote that he'd been an avid mouse user for years, but lately all of the wrist movements have added up, and combined with a desire for some added precision when not using my tablet in Photoshop, I decided to purchase a large trackball. Logitech makes a few with a small thumb-controlled ball, but it looks like you'd get a tired thumb and have no added precision. After searching around, it seems that the only large one really available is a Kensington for about $90. After ordering one online and using it for a few days now, I don't know how I ever lived with a mouse. The trackball has better precision, less wrist movement, and even gaming is pretty cool, easy to use. I can spin it, whip it around real quick, etc. All that said, it seems like trackballs have all but vanished except in medical fields and perhaps graphic arts. I'm left insanely curious why trackballs haven't resurfaced now that optical technologies have fixed the main problems of old trackballs and mice. Do you have a trackball? If so, are you in graphic design? And which led me to my question for this week's poll. What input device do you use? Choices are mouse, trackball, pen, tablet, touchpad, eraser mouse, other, and of course, commando line, baby. And so far, we've had 78 people vote in the poll. Mouse is the unsurprising overwhelming majority at 79%. Absolutely nobody who's voted so far is using a pen, tablet, or other. Chris has something he uses. Chris uses a pen tablet. I actually have a tablet at work now.
Yeah, Chris has got some pretty bad carpal tunnel. So
yeah,
I run into that too. If I use a mouse for too long, or the trackpad, the slidey pad on most laptops now that Apple pioneered, my fingertip gets really numb after a while. So even with the laptop, I still like to use a mouse.
Right.
Now, trackballs were really common in the early days of graphic people,
right,
because they had giant monitors and you could flick the ball, it would keep spinning, and your cursor would go to the other side,
right,
of this giant monitor.
And a lot of early laptops had trackballs.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear from anybody using a trackball what you like or dislike about it. I'd love to hear that. Once you're done voting in the poll, underneath you'll see a yellow box that takes you to my, if you click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Ding. Where you can type in an opinion and then feel free to check around. I do forums and newsletters, and it's ludicrously inexpensive for a year, and well worth it. Lots of fun. But that's, I'd like to hear from people using trackballs. That would be kind of interesting. But we're going to go back to the phones now. Our next caller is Lynn in Irondequoit. Welcome, Lynn. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello.
Dave put a new motherboard in my computer about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, when I would send out picture attachments only and I had Zone, I would have to shut down Zone. The pictures would go through, and then I reset Zone again. Now, not Zone, Trend. So when Dave put the new motherboard in, he put in the free Zone alarm?
Yeah, yep. Zone alarm.
Okay, now I'm having exactly the same problem sending pictures out. If I shut it down, pictures go through fine.
Do you get an error message?
It just says that it's like the 85% and it stops. It won't send the pictures. But if I shut them down, it works fine.
Is there an allow attachments option inside Zone Alarm?
Never had to. No, I mean...
How big are these...
Zone Alarm, you have to allow your email program to see the internet.
Which is Thunderbird.
Yep. If you go into Zone Alarm, does it... Under programs, you see Thunderbird there, and it's got the green check marks?
Okay, I'll have to look, Dave, because yeah, I have no idea. It's all new, the Zone, to me.
Yeah, just go into Zone Alarm.
Okay.
And in the programs field, you'll see all the programs there. If you're unsure, what you can do is you can select the Thunderbird and tell it to remove.
Okay.
And then that way, next time you start up Thunderbird, it's going to ask you, do you want to allow this or not?
Okay.
All right?
All right.
If it gives you a problem, just bring it in. You know I'll take care of it.
Okay, now I have a question. Would you recommend me purchasing Zone? Right now, of course, it's the free program.
No, stay with the freebie. Save yourself some money.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
You're quite welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lynn. Our next caller is Chris from Greece, New York. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. I have a problem. I've got a three-year-old gateway that when I log into the internet, I could be in for a minute or 5 minutes. The computer just shuts down, completely shuts down.
But if you're not on the internet, it works okay?
Nope, it won't. I can turn it on. I can put, my daughter has little discs for the computer system. We put those in, shuts down.
You're on dial-up?
Wait a minute. No, you said it shuts down even if she's playing a game?
Yep.
Then 10-1 odds, you either got a very dirty machine or you've got a fan inside the computer that is not turning. In other words, the CPU fan, if that's shot, it's not cooling it. It overheats. To protect the computer, what it does is it shuts itself off.
Okay.
So you want to pull the cover on that and make sure all the fans are moving. 10-1 odds, I'll bet you the CPU fan, since that's a three-year-old gateway, hasn't been cleaned out, might have a very clogged fan or it's burnt out. The bearings are burnt out on it.
Okay.
And that's why it's shutting down.
The other thing we've noticed a lot is with, especially with the gateways and Dells, if you pull the front panel off, you'll find it caked with dust and dirt behind the front panel.
Even if
the fans are run, I can't find them anymore. You must have moved them again.
I'll have to double check it.
Yeah, the fans pull air in through the back and then out through the front typically. But when that front vent gets all clogged up, even if the fans are spinning, they're not cooling it enough because there's nowhere for the air to go.
Okay.
So generally what we recommend is every 6 months or so, you should probably vacuum out the inside of your computer as well.
Okay. Alrighty. And if I could, I got one more question for you. If I was thinking about replacing this computer and I want to be able to use my digital video camera to download and edit and do movies and things, what would you recommend that I buy for a unit?
Well, then, I knew you were going to say that.
Well, that's one of the Mac's specific strong points, and it comes with video editing software.
Okay.
Yep.
All righty. Thanks very much, guys. Yep.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Our next caller
is
Lou from Greece, New York. Welcome, Lou. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I had a brief power outage the other night, probably about 2 seconds, and then I tried to start the machine up. And it boots normally. I get the XP screen, I get the music, but I don't get any video. And then I went into safe mode and something called VGA mode. It appears that it's fine with the default driver.
Yeah.
So I downloaded the driver for this monitor and installed it. I couldn't install it through the wizards. I had to go just select it and right-click on it and do an install. But that didn't do anything either.
So it may not be the monitor driver. Right. It's more likely the video card driver.
Okay.
Especially if you go into VGA safe mode, which is a very generic 640 by 480 at 16 colors.
Yep.
Right. So if that works, then one of the things you could do is in the control panel under Device Manager, you can find the video card itself. Right-click on it and select Properties, and in one of the tabs, and I forget which one, you can select Reinstall Driver.
Okay.
That may be the easiest way to reinstall the driver, because that'll pull it right off the Windows CD. If it tells you it can't, or that doesn't make you happy, then you need to go to the manufacturer of that video card. Now, depending on what kind of machine you have, it may be on the motherboard, so now you have to go to the manufacturer of the motherboard and download that specific driver for your specific version of Windows.
If it's a name brand computer, then you can go to that company and find your specific model.
Okay, the Compaq.
Yeah, well, then you can go to their website and put it in, and it'll have all the drivers for that particular machine.
Okay, so I go to the control panel device manager and find the video card driver and
reinstall it.
And reinstall
it. But the video card, not the monitor.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All righty.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were right, Steve. I've only got right now just
the battery cover, the melted laptop.
Yeah, the melted laptop. I'll have to put some of my other pictures that I've got. I mean, I've got...
Yeah, if you Google dirty computer, you find some really horrible
pictures. Well, I showed you. I think I showed you guys. I had that one where the person was a heavy smoker.
Yeah.
And the blades are so caked with tar and nicotine, it literally gummed up the bearings in the fan. And it was so thick, you could hardly tell the blade. There was fuzz on it.
Yeah. Well, I like the one where the you find the spider nests, but they're dried and empty spider nests, meaning the spiders lived there for a while and then moved on.
Yeah, right.
Since vacated. Well, I've had them. Also, I had another one that, no lie, had at least 5 inches of dust.
Yeah. Yeah, so one picture you've got is a little shovel scooping the dust up.
Yeah, right. Literally that thing. Yeah.
Actually, I have to clean out my wife's computer. We've got two very large dogs, and it's been a dry and dusty summer, and her computer sits near the floor, and they sleep around it. So you can see layers of dust around things. Of course, she dusts, but that doesn't get inside the computer.
Yeah, how does the dust get underneath something that sits there?
But at any rate, so I have to clean out the inside. The fan is actually finally, for the first time, started to be noisy. We're going to take another break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich.
Pat Kay.
I just had Rob Linton on the tip of my tongue, so to speak, and I just couldn't get past it. I'm sorry, Pat. I'm Nick Francesco. This is Soundbites. I will desperately try to wake up. I might even tell you why I was not happy before. It's Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And 23 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. Microsoft is going to be trying free office suites. How would you like free stuff from Microsoft? Well, the software giant.
I don't know if I trust it.
Yeah, right. Has said they will make available free copies of Microsoft Works. Here's the catch. It's ad-supported. So you install Works on your PC, and advertisements will run while you are using the software. The move has widely been seen by an attempt by Microsoft to counter the growing number of rivals offering web versions of popular Office programs. And, of course, there's OpenOffice, which does not, in fact, compete with Microsoft Works. It competes with Microsoft Office. It's a completely free Office suite, and there are no ads. I can't imagine why people still use Microsoft products. It will read and write Microsoft file formats, except for 2007. That hasn't appeared yet. But for all the others, it will read it. And Microsoft has said they will debut version 9.0 of Works before the end of the year, which is just word processing and spreadsheet. And it will be ad-supported, and the ads will refresh every time the computer... What it does is it downloads a store of ads into a cache. Eudora used to do this in the free version. Download a store of ads, and then you get to see them every time you run. And then the next time you go online, or the next time you run the program and you're online, it updates that cache. So I just, you know, and that saves you $40. I don't particularly think I'll be using it, but that's, you know. That's nice. Our next caller is Ray from Greece. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Well, I just...
calling about why I use the mouse for the ball.
Oh, you use a trackball?
Yeah.
How do you like it?
Well, I think it's great. First of all, it's only $9.99. Second of all, you can unscrew the bottom of it, take the ball out, just blow in there, and whatever's in there flies out like dust and stuff, and you just put the ball back in, screw it back on, and it's like new.
Remember when we had to do that on mice? Back when mice had balls?
Yeah, I think you're talking about a mouse ball, right? It's a mouse.
No, the big track balls, you do that, too.
Yeah,
basically, a track ball was a mouse upside down.
Yeah, right, right.
It stood still, and you spun the ball yourself. With a mouse, the mouse moves around, and the ball spins in it.
Right.
Oh, so I called about the wrong thing.
Yeah, you've got the mouse with the ball on the bottom.
Right.
We're talking about, basically, if you were turned the mouse ball upside down, you can't do this because the mechanical things are on the wrong side, but you could roll the ball with your thumb and it would make the cursor move. So
you could use the, matter of fact, you could use the folks for a long time were using cue balls and eight balls.
The
Kensington is the size of a pool ball, so
right.
You can use,
so you could replace it with a pool ball.
Oh,
a pool.
I understood.
No, it's okay.
I bought it, so I bought one for $9.99, buy one for a spare, and then buy one used. And,
that's exactly right. They're still fairly inexpensive. The problem is you do have to blow them out every once in a while, but that's fine. That's not it's not a problem. You just have to remember to do it.
Right.
I have trouble with the optical mice sometimes, depending on the surface you're on. In fact, we have an interesting, ironic trouble with the Apple mouse pad that says Apple on it because of that nice, sharp capital A.
I threw that one out. It went flat on me, and I couldn't get any mouse of any kind, a laser mouse of any kind, to work on it.
Yep. I had a great picture of us in Tombstone, New York, dressed in old-time garb with the guns and cards and booze and everything. It was very cute, sepia toned. The problem was the mouse wouldn't run on it at all.
Yeah.
It kept jumping every time it hit an edge of your arm or the gun or the bottle of booze or whatever it was. The edge of the picture would make it think it had screwed up in some way. It would reset itself or whatever it was doing. So it was it's hanging on my wall now, but it's pretty useless in terms of being a mouse pad. Well, thanks, Ray. I appreciate that.
Oh, sure. Sorry, I misunderstood you.
Not a problem at all. Thanks for calling in. Our next caller is Todd from Albion, New York. Welcome, Todd. What's your question?
Computer, and none of my USB ports will work. Is there an answer, that you could give me, maybe an easy answer to try and search out what the problem is?
How old is your computer?
A year.
And what operating system are you running?
Windows XP.
Is it under a year or over a year?
Maybe just a month or two over a year.
Yeah, if it's still in warranty, you take it back and have the motherboard replaced.
I was just going to say, have you tried testing, since it's just a year, it probably has USB ports on the front and back?
Yes.
And you've tried hooking them up to both front and back?
Yes, none of them work now.
You can check in your BIOS. I've seen an interesting, confusing selection that says legacy USB support. As far as I know, USB was the new stuff. It's not the legacy stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, legacy maybe. USB is 1.1.
Yeah.
But you might have to check in the BIOS to make sure that USB didn't get disabled.
Okay.
And then, the next easiest thing is you buy a $10 USB card.
Yeah, you just buy a USB card, pop it in, it'll be USB 2.0, and it'll work.
Yeah, you got two or four ports or whatever you want to buy, and you just plug it in. It's very inexpensive, and you'll be on your way.
Very good. Thanks for your help, guys.
Nope, thank you.
Bye.
All right, Pat, we got time for another call here?
Yeah, he's screaming.
Yeah, there's no news at the bottom of the 12:30 hour.
All right, all right. Our next caller is Greg from Scottsville, New York. Welcome, Greg. What's your question?
Hey guys, my question is: Frontier came out and upgraded the phone lines and went from 19 gauge wire to 24 and dropped my DSL speed from about 1 meg to 256. And they apologized for it and said sorry. I'm trying to find out if they offer bonded DSL, and they don't seem to know.
Well, they have a commercial business DSL, SDSL, that's significantly more expensive than their residential DSL, but they offer up to, 15 megabit?
Yep. Right.
Okay. You're looking at a couple hundred a month.
Yeah. The thing about DSL is it's two things. You've seen it yourself, the gauge of the wire. Depends on your resistance and everything else. But the other thing is your distance to the CO, the central office.
Right.
I'm running DSL. I can, if I had a good arm in the wind behind me, I could hit my CO from my house with a rock. and I get 6 megabits per second all day, all night, no fluctuation, no problems. But it really depends on you know, where you are. That's
yeah, we're right next to the CO in our office, and we get better than 6.
Yeah, I bet you do.
So if he was getting 1 before, he must be pretty far away.
I'm about 19,000 feet.
Yeah, and 20,000 is the limit, so... Yeah. So that's probably what happened. You might want to look into cable, see if they can do any better for you. But
it costs about $8,000. My cost. To
you're
get
way
cable
back.
Out. Yeah, you're way in the middle of
the
nowhere.
The next step is satellite. That's about $100 a month.
Right. I would call the office if they've downgraded your service. At the very least, they should be charging you less. But they really should be able to bring you back to where you need to be.
Well, see, that's the whole problem with cable and DSL. It's up to X whatever bits.
Well, that's right.
And but if you are only down to 256K, I know Frontier has their first strike, which is only it maxes at 256 for like half the price of their their high full speed.
Right. Right. Yeah, they did compensate us, but once you had 1 meg, 256.
Yeah.
Sort of yeah.
Sucks. Well, yeah, it depends on what you're doing with it. If it's for email, you'll never notice because you won't care. It all happens in the background. But if it's for big websites and things like that, you do need the speed. Okay. I don't know what to tell you at this point. Give them a call and see what they can do, but I don't know. It's the problem of distance. It's the problem of location. They actually did a smart thing with me when I got DSL. They told me, well, you ought to get 4 megabits per second.
And when you got 6, you were happy.
I was thrilled. Yeah. It was a 50% increase.
I mean, I've got DSL, you know, and it's fast, and I love it. But when I used to have my shop down on Brighton Henry at Town Line Road, that was the fastest.
Yeah, you're closer than we are.
It was in the CO was in your back room.
Yeah, it was right over the wall.
Yeah.
You want to talk about fast speed. I could pound on the wall. Hey, crank it up.
Well, the really annoying thing is Rochester in general is much slower than the rest of the country.
Yeah, it really is.
We know people in Syracuse that are on Verizon Fios. They get 45 megabit down and 10 megabit up.
Wow.
For $40 a month, what we pay here for, you know, for three down and 256 up if we're lucky. So it's the other companies need to move into Rochester.
Yeah. Looks like they're going backwards out here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. And again, it's often a problem of distance. You know, my father-in-law lives in Batavia. He can't get anything but dial-up, and that's not...
Well, there's always satellite.
He actually lives in Stafford, New York, which is outside of...
Yeah, there's always satellite, but that's $100 a month, and that's a lot for most people.
Right.
We have a lot of customers that...
Google will solve all our problems.
Well, in major metropolitan
yeah,
areas.
Yeah, right.
We have a couple of customers that put satellite on their RVs, and they can drive an hour or so before they have to pull over and re-aim the dish.
Well, but there are now the Sprint...
The people in the back are surfing,
the
not the driver.
And Verizon...
Well, the EVDO...
EVDO cards.
That Verizon works over the cell system. And then the Edge is singular AT&T. Edge is slower. Verizon costs a little more, so it's six
right.
One
right.
Half
it's whatever another, 60 yeah. bucks a month, but
right.
You
and
get
that runs
unlimited
over your cell phone.
Right.
Well, unlimited up to 10 gigabytes, I think it is.
Oh, so it's not unlimited.
There's very fine print that there is
10
a limit
gig a
to,
month.
There is a limit to the unlimited.
Very nice,
but it's in the very very fine print. So, and that works over the cell system, so you get a lot better access than you get over Wi-Fi, which, you know, the cell towers have a 2-3 mile range. We sell a lot of those to our Verizon customers. It used to be you needed a card. It was a PC card or Express card in your computer. Now they have a USB version, so you can plug it onto any computer with a USB port. And they make EVDO routers now. So in your a home router with an EVDO card in it. You know, $60 a month, and you get 700K, which
right.
is the max of EVDO.
Right, which is three times what you're getting.
Yeah, right. It's 300K on Edge.
Right. So you're telling me I could possibly get a cell connection?
Yeah. Do you have a good cellular coverage where you are?
Yeah, that appears to work fine.
Yeah, so you can get a cellular broadband, depending on what company your cell phone is with. We sell Verizon phones and data cards at our store.
Okay.
Specifically because of this EVDO data card that you can put into your computer and then get higher speed up to 700K with the Rev A, and it's a meg and a half with Rev B.
Wow.
Over the cell network. And then especially useful on a laptop where you carry around and don't have to find a Wi-Fi spot. I love the Verizon commercial where the guy's in a coffee shop trying to do business, and you know, the busboy is leaning over his shoulder, and the kid at the next table is throwing ice cream at him.
Right.
So with the EVDO card, you don't have to worry about any of that.
Do they limit a monthly download?
I think from the fine print I'm reading, when you get close to 10 gigs a month, it either slows you down or there's an extra fee.
So it's 10 gig down. What about, I mean 10 gig out, but what about down?
That I don't believe there's a charge for.
Wow. So I can only send out 10 gigs a month.
Well, that may be total transfer. Let me see if I can find it.
But at any rate, that's an option for you.
You can look into it. You can explore it.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Our next caller is going to have to wait until after the break. Pat catches me at that last possible second. He's good. He's got the reflexes like you wouldn't believe. All right, we are going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 36 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And at 40 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites. Forget the news. We'll go back to the phones. Our next caller is Roger from Irondequoit. Welcome, Roger. What's your question?
Nick, great show. I've learned so much from you guys over the years.
Thank you, Roger.
You started off speaking Greek to me. Now I'm listening to the question saying, who doesn't know that?
We started off speaking Greek. Now we're speaking geek.
Well, at least you have me speaking it.
There you go.
I'm a trackball user. Cannot imagine using anything else on my machine.
Really?
The convenience of it, one unit that sits in one place, your hand rests on.
Yeah.
How many people do you see
waving around the desk? You're not knocking over your coffee with your elbow.
And how many people do you see where the mouse hits the keyboard and they don't realize to pick it up and move it? They just start banging away at their keyboard, trying to move it farther?
Yeah, it's. I'm a contractor. I'm quite often in a customer's house, and I'll go to a supplier's website. If they have a regular mouse, it takes me about 30 seconds before I'm ready to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
And also Dave's problem with his hands. I'm using a Logitech TrackMan. If I put my forearm and my hand at rest on my desk and then move it to the trackball, that trackball is in the same shape my hand is at rest.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've heard of. I've thought about getting myself a trackball because I have a carpal tunnel myself, and so I've thought about a trackball, but I just didn't know if I was losing...
what was that old mouse? The Kalani mouse. It looked like a lump of clay that someone grabbed with their hand.
Right, and just smushed, and that was the whole idea. But I wondered if I would lose precision with a trackball.
It takes some time to get used to, but once you're used to it, you get used to the subtle movements of your thumb. Now, mine has the ball on the side.
Right.
You get used to the subtle movements with your thumb, and you're lost with a regular mouse.
Interesting.
It really makes it so much easier to use. You know, I quite often am doing paperwork at my desk. It allows me to have my paperwork directly in front of me, my mouse to my right, and when I need my keyboard, I simply pull it out. You can also use it left or right-handed if you want to take notes.
Yep.
Yeah, we use them in cramped space situations, mm-hmm. like in servers. You know, in fact, we've been trying to find a good USB keyboard with a built-in trackball.
Right.
So you only have one device.
They used to have them.
Haven't found them much anymore.
Logitech used to do one.
Yeah, I've had great luck with the Logitech keyboards and also the trackball.
Yep.
One other quick thing for people with overheating computers. I have a bird in my office, which leads to a dust like talcum powder that gets into everything.
Yep,
so I have my unit inside the cabinet. Bad air circulation. Took a 2-inch hole saw, drilled a hole in the door, drilled a hole in the side, put in 2-inch soffit vents like you would put on a house. It allows the air to circulate. Makes a big difference in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
That's
neat. Yeah, because the dander from the bird.
I just realized I don't know how to spell soffit. All right. Thank you.
We're seven now that he's gone. You know, we
right, right, exactly.
That's his big thing. Soffit's in the attic.
Put like a cheesecloth or something over it just to, you know, if you don't want to put the vents, just put something in the cloth just to, again, filter out that dander or dust or whatever that you can blow off once.
And even, you know, pets, especially cats like to sleep on top of the monitor because it's warm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much. Our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ed. What's your question?
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I appreciate your talk show. I've been listening to it for quite some time.
Thank you.
I'm retired and have got rather limited financial resources, so I very often use the internet at the library, which is free, and it's an excellent tool for the public to use. My question is, I one of those. Now, if I were to do so, pick up one of these used units and get a used card in it and go into like a Wi-Fi area, like a cafe or a library that has Wi-Fi, do I need to pay for an account, or will I be able to use that for free because I have the capabilities within that laptop?
It depends.
It depends. Some of the coffee shops, you have to pay for Wi-Fi. Some of them you have to buy a cup of coffee. Some of them are completely free. I think the library is completely free.
So I don't have to establish an internet account with some company.
It depends
on where you go.
Some of them, when you go there, you are brought to a web page where you have to log in.
Mm-hmm.
So you would need to get a username and password from the place you're in,
the establishment.
Which are often free. Some of those are free. Yeah. They just want to know who it is. Some of them you pay for. So every place is different. What you need to do is check out your favorite places to go. There are a couple of cafes in town that have free Wi-Fi. Some it's free, but you have to sign up. There are a number of bars in town that do the same thing.
In fact, I just saw it in a bar catalog. They have a jukebox that has internet audio streaming. So if the song isn't in the jukebox, it will go find it on their service.
Nice.
And it's a Wi-Fi hotpoint, so it will create the Wi-Fi access for you. So it's a self-contained little thing for a bar owner to buy.
Nice. Absolutely nice.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. We are going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 46 minutes after the hour. This is Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Pat Kay.
And at 50 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites. All right, we are back to the phones. I'm not even, we've got people waiting on the line, and we're going to get to them. Dave is calling from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I really like your show. Now I can finally use it. I had to help a friend of mine with a fairly new HP laptop. With a Vista on it, tried to install Zone Alarm. And when he did, he told me that he got a blue screen and brought the machine over. We ended up having to actually start the machine in safe mode, uninstall Zone Alarm, and then everything ultimately was okay again. Do you know of any issues that I didn't know about?
What version of Zone Alarm was
it?
He had just gotten it. He just downloaded the latest.
Yeah, 7.1 is supposed to be available for Vista.
Yeah. When the and I actually ran the installer that he had on his laptop, and when I saw it run, it as it was installing, Windows didn't like it at all, and it just stopped and went into a black screen. Started saying things like Windows it had encountered something it didn't like, and it was going to shut down to protect the machine. And then when we restarted it, it came up with blue screen, and then we ended up having to go through the safe mode again.
Yeah. What you might want to try to do is turn off the firewall built into a Vista and then try doing another download. Download the file to the desktop.
Yeah.
And install from there.
Okay. I'm really, like, that was the first time I had seen Vista.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to turn off the firewall in Vista, and neither did he.
Yeah, you got to go searching in the control panel, and because they changed all the damn names.
Not in security anymore?
Oh, they... And he took something that was very simple and easy to get around and had to move it somewhere else just to play with people's minds. So you got to go in there and look around, but you can turn off the firewall, and it's going to nag you like normal.
It should. It did under XP, may not under Vista. It should realize you have Zone Alarm and stop nagging you.
Yeah. It looks like I've put it on a couple of XP machines in the past, and it had no problem.
Yeah, because you could sit there and tell it, turn it off, and, oh, by the way, don't bother me about it, because...
Yeah, I think in Vista, the choice is stop nagging me about it. There is a stop nagging me about this choice. I'm managing it on my own. Stop bothering me.
Will the events that show up every time you start a new program also stop from the Vista machine? You know, Vista says, you just started this program. Do you really want to run it, or that kind of...
That's a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all different.
Yeah, the firewall will pop up and say, this program is trying to access the internet. Do you want to allow it? And you can say, always allow. But the Windows Vista security, in fact, there's a great Get a Mac ad with that.
Okay, so that all goes away.
Yeah, you got to go back into that security and turn off that feature also.
Okay, guys.
It looks like somebody bought Zone Labs, a company called Checkpoint.
Yes, yes. Checkpoint, and it shows up everywhere. In fact, when I went to uninstall it, I had to uninstall a checkpoint.
Yeah, I don't see the free version anymore, and all the prices are in euros. Okay, there, all right, the free version is still there. All right, it's just hiding.
Yeah. Oh, of course they hide it.
Yeah, but it's all in euros. That's interesting. So they must be a European software company.
All right, thanks.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Our next caller is Joe from Greece, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Yeah, I got in the car. I heard you guys talking about not buying Vista, sticking with XP. I have three computers. Two have XP, and one has Windows 98. And they all work fine. What is this? I'm afraid of Vista. What are the pros and cons?
Well, the big issue is that if you buy a new computer now, you're almost forced to get Vista on it.
Unless you complain bitterly.
Yeah. Or you find another vendor that still offers XP.
All Vista is so far, in my estimation, and again, this is my point of view, nobody else is, nor the stations or anything else. We'll get that legal stuff out of the way. In my estimation, Vista, all it is XP on steroids.
It's mostly
iCandy. And not many of those.
Right. iCandy. It's got a lot of neat graphic effects on it, but you need a real heavy horsepower computer to run it. And I'm already seeing, because I've been looking for you in some of the big superstores and in even the big name brands. You buy the $399 PC, it'll come with Windows Vista on it. 256 megs of shared video memory with
right, and so you have horrible to run it in no fancy stuff mode, and then what's the point?
Yeah, you got to have at least 2 gig of memory just to begin with.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan so far of Vista.
And if I do buy XP, will I still be able to buy software and things to run it?
Yeah,
buy something that's gonna be obsolete. It's
like matter of fact, Microsoft has already said they're gonna support it for the next 9 years.
Depends on how you define obsolete.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
it will slowly get harder to buy XP as Microsoft stops making it available for purchase.
On the other hand, you will always be able to upgrade to Vista, and at some point, one can only hope that Microsoft will get it right.
Get all the bugs out of it.
And get all the bugs out of it. And if you buy enough RAM and enough video card and all that other stuff now, you'll be ready for Vista when it is available.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, to expound upon that a little bit more, though, it's just in today's economy, companies closing down and shutting down and cutbacks and everything else. I mean, we're seeing it around here in Rochester like nobody's business. And with all budget cutbacks and everything else, companies just aren't going to have the resources nor money to say, oh, yeah, let's just scrap all our XP machines and buy all new Vista. They just can't.
Right, right.
And the time and effort it takes to test all their special software to work with Vista, again, takes an army.
Yep.
And they just don't have the time nor money or resources to do it.
Yep, absolutely right. All right, our next caller is Joe from Webster, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Lou.
Lou
from Webster.
Lou from Webster. Sorry, Lou.
That's okay. I haven't called Joe, Nick, Sam, everything.
Hey, you in Webster.
Hey, me.
Life is worth living?
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Have to pay the tax bill. Let's see. I'm sending my daughter to college as a freshman this year. The college, which is 2.5 hours away, strongly is pushing a new laptop, which she'll be getting anyway, but an HP or a Dell.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Vista, although the last caller really answered the Vista question, or you guys answered the Vista question pretty well for him and for me.
Yeah.
Their big selling point is the fact that their wireless network on campus will work well with Vista, and they have a 24/7 agreement with HP and Dell, so if there's any problems, they'll come right up to the dorm room and fix the computer.
Yeah.
Last two computers I've had, both of which, one's 3 years old, one's 5 years old, have been built locally for me here in Webster, and I've had good luck with them, and any time I've had even the slightest problem, it's been taken care of immediately.
Yeah.
So my vote is go with the local guy and throw the dice on service, but my wife, you know, you guys got one of those, says, no, do what the school says.
Well, we talk about this, so where's your service and where's your support? If your daughter's 2 hours away in college and has a problem, you're going to have to drive 2 hours and fix the computer.
Or she's going to have to drive in, get it fixed, bring it back. Now, that may be a benefit if you don't see her often enough and you want her to come home for a few hours.
Yeah, and again,
but that's a day. And is she going to take a day off in the middle of the week? No, she's going to come home on a Saturday. Most likely, the local company won't be able to deal with the machine until Monday. So she's without it until somebody can drive it back out to her. In this particular case, local for her is the school. So we all feel that in general, while you're right, I believe in buying locally. In this case, local is the school. And you truly cannot beat a 24-7 agreement. We've had Dell come to our place of business at 4 in the morning with a new hard drive for the server, and you can't beat that. So our suggestion at the moment, I'm sorry, Lou, I know we're disappointing you now, but we got to go with your wife on this one.
Yeah, you are. You're breaking my heart.
I'm sorry, but I got to go with her on this one. We are done for another week. We got to go. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Pat Kay, everybody who called in. I apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. We will be back here next Saturday. I'm Nick Francesco. It's 59 minutes after the hour. You've been listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Thanks. See you next week.